Welcome to Valley Podcast. Valley Christian Church is located on Cedar Avenue just south of Apple Valley. To learn more about our church and how you can get involved, go to valleycc.org. Here's the latest sermon in our current teaching series, The Best News Ever.
Bless our time of the Word today. Thank you, Father, for the privilege of gathering together once again to read your Word in community, to think about our life on this earth, our life in Christ, the possibilities, the purpose of why we're here. Father, help us this morning as we open the Word to remember what it means to believe the gospel, or to learn, maybe for some of us to just actually get a glimpse of it for the first time. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, well, we're at part four today. Our headline for the day is Peace Initiatives Gain Momentum. I see lots of headlines about peace initiatives. But let's put this in context with our sermon series so far. The first week we talked about the good news that there is a God. What kind of God? A good God who has what kind of intentions toward humanity? Good intentions, right? Good intentions toward us, good intentions toward the world. So part one of what makes the news of Jesus the best news ever is, first of all, it starts with a God who is good, okay? Secondly, we talked about, in part two, we talked about this good God breaking in to our world, that there is a breakthrough, that the gospel is about a rescue mission, that God, this good God with good intentions, is setting into motion a plan to save us, to save our world. It's a redemption thing. So God is breaking through to meet us in our brokenness. And last week we talked about new life form, the idea that as God breaks through, that begins where we have the possibility of new life. Okay? And we're going to kind of take that to the next step today. What does this new life mean? Because the idea of us finding new life in Christ is really an invitation for us to become part of this best news. You know, some people talk about the gospel like it's information in a book, or that it's this idea. And actually, it's a movement. It's a revolution. It's a rescue. The rescue project that you and I become part of. We don't just become recipients of this news. We become vessels, embodiments of this news. And this news is really a message of peace. That God, this breakthrough, is initiating peace. And peace for you might just sound like the absence of conflict, but the biblical concept of peace is much greater than that. The biblical concept of peace is wholeness. Wholeness, healthiness, completeness. And that if God is reaching, breaking through into our world to fix our brokenness and give us new life, the reason for that is not just so you and I can have a new life. The reason is that we are part of God's revolution to bring peace, shalom, wholeness, healing to the world. When you hear about peace initiatives, I don't know what context jumps into your mind. Maybe something on the world stage jumps into your mind. Because there's certainly all kinds of world conflict that we think, wouldn't some peace be good there, right? There are voices that don't really make us think of peace in the world. In fact, there are so many voices yelling right past each other that it's hard to imagine that the world is capable of peace without a rescue. It's not all just about politics and nationalism, though. I mean, here we got people holding up, you know, Korans and crosses, and there's interreligious conflict, and we think, what can bring peace? There's so many ideas about religion, God. I could have just spent an entire sermon time just showing you pictures of conflict, right? You don't probably, you have a grip on conflict. Some of it gets very personal, doesn't it? I mean, sometimes you don't need the UN to be involved. It's your living room, right? And I think part of the gospel that we have to get to is this idea that really what happens in our living room, our lives, that's the starting point for what happens in our family. That's the starting point for what happens in our church and our community. That peace in the world comes one person at a time. And so it's very important. You know, we have to be careful about being people who think about Jesus as the answer, or that Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and then we go around, and then when it comes to real life, like this problem with my kids, or when it comes to real life, like this problem with my neighbor, when it comes with real life, like what it has to do with the city zoning, or what it has to do with who I'm voting for, when it comes to real life, the gospel is just this idea back here, and then I'm going about my business in the real world. And do you see what I'm saying? Is that if the gospel is true, if it's actually not just good news or a nice idea, if it's actually the best news ever, then this idea of what God is doing in my life, He's changing me into a seed, into a vessel of a peace movement. And I'm not talking about a pacifistic, I'm not talking about, I shrink away from everything. No, in fact, to be part of God's peace movement, as we're going to see in a minute here, is actually to be brave and courageous. Because I don't know if you are aware of this, the world's not that interested. We talk about it all the time, but the choices we're making and the things we do and the way we live do not really come to support the idea that we want peace. You know, at least not the best peace ever. You know, we want maybe peace for us individually, but God's interested in more than you as an individual. He's interested in the world He's saving. He's interested in everything. And so we need to remember that it starts, the problem and the hope starts with what God's doing in us. The mid-20th century Catholic writer and contemplative person, sometimes called a mystic. I'm going to say he's contemplative, a thoughtful follower of Christ, Thomas Merton, said, "We are not at peace with others because we are not at peace with ourselves, and we are not at peace with ourselves because we are not at peace with God." So you flip that around, you kind of see Merton's idea of what could bring peace in the world. Peace with others starts with peace within ourselves. That's why when we talked about God breaking through, we talked about Him breaking through on a very personal level, because that's where it starts, and then it spreads out to the interpersonal. And so the promise of peace is in the gospel. The promise of peace is in the message of Christ. You know the Christmas story. We're going to be coming up on these kind of texts soon, but you probably know. I could probably at least read this verse to you and you go, "Oh yeah, I recognize that. It's from the Christmas story." It says, remember the shepherds were in the fields and there was a company of the heavenly hosts, and they appeared to this angel that was speaking to the shepherds. And this heavenly host was praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth." Where? On earth. Peace to those on whom His favor rests. The announcement of Jesus came with this hope of peace. That with the coming of Jesus, something is being put into motion that can bring peace. Jesus, in His what we think of as the Sermon on the Mount, in those opening verses, those Beatitudes, those blessing statement, says, "Blessed, happy are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God." And without trying to derail myself here, I'm just going to suggest to you, I don't think Jesus in this verse is saying you should try to be a peacemaker because then God will call you His child. I think it's something much bigger in this verse. I think if you look at those blessing statements, some of those blessing statements are things that you think, "Oh, that's a good thing. That's a good thing to do, like being a peacemaker." But Jesus also says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. He says, blessed are those who mourn. I think in those blessing statements, Jesus is saying, in a world where you might be mourning, where you might be longing for some sort of relationship with God that you don't have, in a world where you might be working for peace to no avail, you know, how can you be happy? I think what Jesus is saying here is that in the long run, peacemakers will be vindicated. In the long run, we'll discover that the people who long for peace were longing for the very same thing God was. In fact, we might call them the children of God. So making peace is at the heart of this good news. But there's a paradox of peace. And lest I get emails about it and say, Dave, that was a very nice sermon about peace, but I found this verse in the New Testament where Jesus says, I didn't come to bring peace. Could you please explain? So let's just get that over with now. It's the only verse like this in the New Testament. And I think if you read the context of this verse in the New Testament, Jesus is basically saying to the people, his disciples, he's saying this. If you follow me, your temporal peace is going to be in trouble. He says they're going to arrest you. They're going to haul you before authorities. He says fathers will turn against their sons. Sons will turn against their fathers. Families will be broken up over this thing I'm trying to do in the world. Because the world doesn't want the peace Jesus came to give. They want the peace where they're in charge and comfortable and in control. And Jesus says, I'm coming to bring a message of peace and selflessness and sacrifice. I'm coming to present the truth of what God's doing in the world in a way a lot of people are not going to want to hear it. And so when Jesus, I think what he's saying here is, do not suppose that I've come to bring a shallow, two-dimensional kind of peace to the world, or a temporary peace. Do not suppose I came to make you comfortable. That's a fair thing for Jesus to say. He's saying, because if you join this peace movement that I'm part of, it's going to be rough for a while. Because this is a peace that the world isn't looking for. He says, you will be hated by everyone because of me. That's why Jesus said this. If you look at the context, Jesus is not saying, I mean, Jesus says, I came that you could have peace, and I give peace that the world cannot give. You have to look at the context, not just that little phrase. So when Jesus says, be careful when you say, I'm just following you, Jesus, because I want to feel peaceful. Jesus is saying, sit up, because that might not be the peace I came to bring. Do not suppose I came to make you comfortable. I came to enlist you into something that may make you uncomfortable. In fact, in the short term, your peace might be a little rough. It made me think of when I read that verse thinking this week about Martin Luther King Jr.'s famous letter from a Birmingham jail cell. And I looked for a little flavor from that. But he says in that letter, he expresses some frustration. You know, he was famous for trying to resist injustice, but do it in a peaceful way. Right? And that's why he led such a peaceful life. Right? That's why everything was so peaceful for Martin Luther King Jr. You see, he advocated for peace. He was trying to do things in a peaceful way. It didn't work out for him personally right away, did it? And I think that's a good thing to put in the echo of when Jesus says, be careful when you think about the peace I came to give. It's not a comfort zone. And so when King writes, I came to Birmingham with the hope that the white religious leadership in the community would see the justice of our cause with deep moral concern, that sounds reasonable to me. That they would look at it and serve, and that they would serve as the channel through which our just grievances could get to the power structure. I had hoped that each of you would understand, but again, I have been disappointed. He was for peace. but sometimes the world won't have it. And sometimes the revolution that God is calling us to does not lead to an immediate comfort zone. So we need to not confuse the peace that God is working for in the world with a comfort for his followers. Okay? And this peace initiative that God's trying to accomplish in the world, these peace initiatives, and I'm using this word initiative because it takes initiative. That's a doing word, right? Take some initiative, right? The peace that God wants to accomplish in your life and in the world is going to require your initiative. You know, the peace fairy doesn't come in, bling, everything's cool now. No, it's a revolution. It's a challenge to the world as it is. And so these initiatives, when we think about, I don't know about you, I look at the world, I look at the news, and I think, what can I possibly do? I mean, really, in what sense do I have anything to do with some of these big conflicts? Well, you know what those big conflicts are? They're just extrapolations of little problems. And so I guess in faith, the foolishness of faith, I guess I will just one day at a time say, let peace begin with me. Here's one thing that I think we can all get our head around. It's foolish for us to long for peace in the world when we won't even make initiative for peace in our own lives. I got a feeling that the world has no hope if we as individuals and families and a church and a community, if we can't find peace. So let's just start, like I always say, let's start with the part of God's kingdom we have the most say in, the part between your shoes and your haircut. That's where the peace initiatives start, in our own lives, our own words, our own actions, our own attitudes, our values. Yes, you and I have words, actions, beliefs, values, and not all of them are reflective of initiative toward peace. And if it's going to happen in the world, it's got to happen one person at a time. Shane Claiborne, who is a guy who's pretty well known in circles of, sometimes it's called new monasticism. He's kind of a part of a movement of people who are trying to, particularly he does a lot on the East Coast, but really trying to radically change the world by communal living and a bunch of things like that. So he's this guy's out there. I mean, he's on the edge, okay? I mean, look at him. He's got dreadlocks, for crying out loud. But I love what he said in his book, Jesus for President. One thing that's clear in the scriptures is that the nations do not lead people to peace. Rather, people lead the nations. If there's going to be peace in the nations, it's going to be because there's people of peace. It's not going to start with the big structures and work its way down to the everyday folks like you and me. It's going to start with everyday folks like you and me and work its way out. Okay? Because I'll be honest with you, I can live at peace and be a person of peace even if the structures never get it. And if enough of us figure that out, if enough of us will say, who cares what the structure says? Who cares what the system says? I am for peace. I am for what God's doing. I am for redemption. I long to be part of the best news ever. We can do it. So, peace initiative number one, we stand in grace. In Romans 5:1, it says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. The first initiative is this. Get right with God through Christ and stand in that grace. Apart from Jesus, you and I will not find personal peace, and we will not be able to stand in the grace that changes and transforms our lives. The first initiative is to take hold of the salvation that God is offering us in Christ Jesus. So if you're sitting here today and you go, you know, I haven't really given my life to Christ. I haven't really placed my faith in. This is a starting point for you. You should be thinking about this. Because if you long for peace, The first initiative you need to take is the initiative to figure out what you're going to do with Jesus. Because in the scriptures, in the gospel, in the witness of the church, it all hinges on our personal salvation with Christ. Peace in the world starts with peace with God. Remember, like Merton said, we don't have peace with others because we don't have peace with ourselves, and we don't have peace with ourselves because we don't have peace with God. Here's where we start. Okay, the first initiative is to get serious about Jesus and respond. Take some initiative there. The second initiative, we start from our own walk with the Lord. The next initiative is we start getting along with others. Can you believe I have to say this? But I do. Just think in your life right now. I was thinking about this on the way to church today. Who is it I don't get along with? You know, I'm thinking on the way to church, I'm going to preach about peace. Who's not at peace with me? Which relative have I ticked off? You know, which person in church is fed up with me? You know, sometimes peace doesn't even depend on me. You know, how's it work in my neighborhood, at my workplace? When you do some inventory, if right away, are you thinking of somebody? Have I gotten you to think about somebody in your life? Who are you not at peace with? If we really believe in what God's doing, a good God breaking into the world, giving us new life, we really got to get serious about this peace stuff, getting right with others, as much as it's within our power to do so. I mean, some people make it hard, don't they? You know, don't write them off. Look at what Paul says in Romans 12. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud. Hello? Be willing to associate with people of low position. Don't be conceited. Don't repay anyone evil for evil. No. Do not pay evil with evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. In other words, try not to offend people. You know? If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Here's the deal is, I'm not saying it's easy. I'm just saying if we are going to be Jesus followers who are really seeing the gospel as the best news ever, we can't say, praise the Lord, who cares about them? You cannot do that. If it's the best news ever, you got to start caring about peace. You need to be a vessel of peace. You need to stop being an offense. You know, if people are offended at you because you're so Christ-like, okay. You know, I've noticed most people that get offended by me, it's when I'm really Dave-like. You see? And so as much as it depends on me, I want to be a vessel of peace. Another initiative is to grow in the Spirit. In Galatians, it says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, what? Peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Here's my paraphrase. Nobody ever got in trouble doing those things. You know? And some of you have heard me say this. You know, I'm just having so much trouble in my marriage. You know. Well, what are you doing to serve and be thankful and gentle? Well, because nobody has ever come to my office and said, I don't know what to do. My wife is just hacked off. Why? What'd you do? I was gentle. Well, what else? Well, I was kind and good. You see, Some things, they're just, you don't need rules. And so here's a peace initiative. If I really believe this is the good news, then I should submit myself to the Holy Spirit, because it sounds like the Holy Spirit wants to produce peace in me. And when you look at that, you don't just say, well, yeah, I'm going to cherry pick this. I want the love and joy. Yeah, that'll do it. Love and joy. That's all I want. No. Notice that the fruit is singular. It's not the fruits of the Spirit. It's the fruit. You don't get love and joy and kindness and gentleness without peace. You don't get peace without those other things. So we take the initiative to submit ourselves to God. We take the initiative to choose trust over fear. Hold on. Jesus said, John chapter 14, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give it to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and afraid. Oh, that's an interesting juxtaposition. Jesus says, I'm giving you peace, and I want you to lean into my peace instead of leaning into your fear. Fear is the enemy of peace. It takes courage to be vulnerable. It takes courage to be selfless. It takes courage to forbear. And people who are afraid will not do those things, and so they are doomed to conflict. He says, I'm giving you a peace and an assurance so you can push your fears aside. Even a verse we like to quote a lot around here, Philippians 4, 6, and 7, don't be stressed out about anything, but in every situation with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And we love to pull that one right out and say, that's a good one. But remember, this is in a letter to the Philippian church. And in that church, he's telling them, contend for the best news ever. Be the church. And so when he tells us the peace of God can guard our hearts and our minds, it's not just so we'll feel better. It's because the mission, the calling, the life of the believer requires courage. That the peace God gives us is bigger than the things we're afraid of. So he says, don't let the fear be your master. Let Jesus be Lord. Take some initiative. Choose to trust him. Because that's going to pull you through the fear. And I could tell by your knowing faces. I see. Yes, I think I've forfeited peace sometimes because I've let my fear dictate. Gandhi was not a Christian, but he got in. He even understood this. There are so many truths about the gospel and the best news ever that Christians could learn from guys like Gandhi. You know, Gandhi really bugs me. You know why? He acted more Christian than me. He says, let the first act of every morning be to make the following resolve for the day. I'm really tempted to do it with an accent. That first line just left. Let the first act every morning be to make the following resolve for the day. I shall not fear anyone on earth. I shall fear only God. I shall not bear ill will toward anyone. I shall not submit to injustice from anyone. I shall conquer untruth by truth. And in resisting untruth, I shall put up with all suffering. That's somebody that's choosing faith over fear. That's somebody who says, I want to be an instrument of peace in the world, and fear will stop me from doing that. The last initiative I'll mention is advancing peace. Jesus, the apostles, one of their typical greetings was to say, peace. Grace and peace. Peace to you. Jesus says, this is the resurrected Jesus talking in John 20. And he says, peace be with you. Jesus came for peace for you. But then he says, as I've been sent, I'm sending you. As I've been a vessel and a channel of God's peace, I'm sending you. Merton also said this, I love this, if you are yourself at peace, then there is at least some peace in the world. Think of that. If you have some peace, then there is at least some peace in the world. Now, share that peace. Share that peace. A lot of churches in their liturgies have a part every morning where they pass the peace. And it's sadly become just a, how you doing? How you doing? Peace to you, peace to you. There's a real beauty to that, but it's not a real beauty if we just let it be a ritual. It's a beauty if we understand God has saved us. He's bringing peace and shalom and wholeness into our lives, and that every person we're in touch with, He has sent us to be a vessel of peace in their life. Will we be part of the best news? Will we take the initiative of faith and find peace with God ourselves? Will we take the initiative to be at peace with others? Will we take the initiative to grow in the Spirit so we can bear the fruit of the Spirit? Will we take the initiative to choose trust over fear? Will we take the initiative to be an instrument of peace? Let's stand together and close with the prayer of St. Francis today. Let's pray it together. Here we go. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. Grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console. To be understood as to understand. To be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. And it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen. The Lord be with you.
Thanks for listening. If you value our podcast and the ministry of our church, please consider making a contribution. To do so, just point your browser to valleycc.org and click the Give Online button. To get complete podcasts and archive information, look under the Resources tab on our website. While you're there, look around to find lots of other helpful resources. If you have comments or questions, send us a note at podcast@valleycc.org.